Old paths, where the good way is. Timeless truth from the Bible, Christian teaching, thought and meditations from prior times, read by missionary to Africa, James Robinette.
God's Power for God's People by Eugene Bradford, 1915 through 2010. It is precisely because of the redemptive work of Christ that Paul can pray for the church. This is very clear in the first chapter of his epistle to the Colossians. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. It is because they have come to faith in Christ and have manifested that faith in love to all the saints that Paul gives thanks to God and prays for the Colossian Christians. The report of their faith in Christ prompts him to prayer on their behalf, and he is thankful for the hope laid up for them in heaven, which hope is theirs because they have heard it in the word of the truth of the gospel. There is no other basis upon which he may pray or give thanks for them. The actual prayer of Paul for them demonstrates that the confidence with which he prays is based upon the redemption accomplished through the work of Christ. After praying that they might have wisdom, moral uprightness, increase in the knowledge of God, and strengthened patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness, Paul concludes by giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1, verses 12 through 14. From this passage, then, there can be no doubt that all of Paul's thanksgiving for them could be summed up in the fact that they have come to the experience of faith in Christ Jesus, which brought them the forgiveness of sins and a heavenly inheritance. For this reason also, he has warranted in supplicating God that all the Christian graces would adorn their lives. And furthermore, he has been constrained to pray for them ever since the day he heard of their faith. In his epistle to the Ephesians, the warrant for and the duty of intercession for the church by the Apostle Paul are implied even more fully. Here again, noting that he has heard of their faith in the Lord Jesus and their love to all the saints, he assures them that he unceasingly gives thanks for them and makes mention of them in his prayers. The specific petitions he makes for them are expressed in language similar to that used in the Colossian prayer, but he adds his desire that they may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, Ephesians 1, verse 19. But what is so impressive is his description of that power in terms of its historical manifestation in the resurrection of Christ from the dead and his exaltation to the right hand of God. He prays that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Ephesians 1, verses 19 through 23. To paraphrase, may you experience the same power that was demonstrated in the resurrection of Christ and in his exaltation to heaven. For indeed, Christ was exalted just so that he might be head over all things for the eternal welfare of his church. What confidence is implicit in this prayer? Christ, raised from the dead by the power of God. Christ, set at God's own right hand in the heavenly places. Christ, exalted far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Christ, having all things put under his feet, and Christ given to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the mystical complement of his person. Since Christ has thus been triumphant over all other power in order to bring about the good of his church, which is his body, surely Paul is warranted in praying that all the members of the body may experience the power of God that was the instrument in the exaltation of the head. The head and the body are inseparable. There is a mystical, vital union that has been effected by the power of God and experienced in the members of the body by faith. As surely as God's power exalted the head, so surely will the body and all the members thereof experience God's power.